On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York, and the host of On the Ground.
Hello, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is On the Ground. And I am so thrilled today to be with the Reverend Gregory Johnson, a longtime friend. But if there is a celebrity in the field of caregiving, we have one right here. I can tell you all of his credentials. They will come out. Of course, he's an interfaith minister. He has founded so many caregiving organizations. But what I wanted to do very quickly was to read something from the Straits Times of Singapore. The qualities that best describe Greg Johnson and which have earned him this exciting and diverse career are leadership, creativity, enthusiasm, you got that, and vision. In every aspect of his broad and expansive areas of operation and expertise, Greg has sought and found possibilities where they were least to be found. Synergy and opportunity, possibilities are really his middle name. And we're going to be talking about that because you guys, you NGOs, you change makers, you often need to find possibilities where they cannot be found. And we've got the best possibility sleuth on earth right with us today, Reverend Gregory Johnson. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's such an honor.
Well, it's so wonderful to be with you, Adrienne, both as a friend and as a longtime mentor. I have so loved all the work that you have done and how we met so long ago at the Council of Senior Centers and Services when you keynoted. And we've ended up at so many more organizations since.
Well, you know, speaking of organizations, we really do want you to promote and highlight a fascinating endeavor, your latest endeavor, the Sahaja Foundation Bali. Now, of course, it is a continuation of your work in caregiving and understanding, but it's also something brand new. So tell us how this came about.
It's been truly blessed. It's gone going on its third year. But a very dear friend of mine from Indonesia, who also lives here in New York, had a very dear friend who's a minister for planning in Indonesia. And so they said, well, would you be willing to talk to the government minister? And I said, of course. So we began talking. And then he realized my background and how I had been very much involved with the government for many, many years. And I said to him, there is a way of doing caregiving, and I think it makes perfect sense. And I said, I thank the Rockefeller Foundation because they were a client. We would visit all of their healthcare related projects. So I didn't know then, but I was learning the healthcare infrastructure of Indonesia. And they have one thing that I said is a very strong possibility. There are puskesmas, that is the Indonesian name for clinics. They are strategically placed throughout the entire area. And I said, with Indonesia, I do believe that the answer is, and it's proved to be very correct in Sahaja, is you take whatever technology, as limited as it might be, as far as it can go, and at that point, you take the great resource of Indonesia, the fourth largest country in the world, and you put in human capital, and you work on education, resources, and support. So he said, well, I have to agree with you. And I said, the technology, become a group of people who are trained. I didn't know how wonderfully this was going to be. A nurse is placed in each of the puskesmas who becomes the care manager. Reporting to her are 10, 15, 20 nurses, depending on the geographical area and the number of nurses. And each of them is responsible to 10 to 15 people. So there is a connection, but it's a human connection that allows us to find out who is the caregiver, what are the immediate needs. So they came back to me and said, we agree with you, and would you be interested and willing to meet with five people in Bali? Well, I call them the fabulous five in my life because I was blessed to meet five unbelievably brilliant people. Now, I've recently come back from my 168th visit to Indonesia. So wow. I have been there many, many times. But these I am in love with. They are fabulous. One was one of the leading gerontologists in Indonesia. Another was the president of the Nursing and Technology School, Itikas, in Bali. Another was a psychologist, another a therapist, and one a sociologist. I was so pleased. So I said, look, this is just a little project, but I really do believe we can make this happen. It was totally a volunteer situation on my part. We did 10 weeks together in which we got to know each other first. And then I walked them through a series that I have done called Yana, You Are Not Alone. And it's an 8-part series that is welcome to the world of caregiving. Here's where you start.
Is this for caregivers, the individuals and the consumers, the people who are in the family, as well as for the professionals that help them?
It is for the entire story of healthcare, for the care recipient, for the professional caregiver, and for the too often silent patient, the family caregiver, because often they're all playing the same roles. You may be a professional caregiver, but you'll very much be a family caregiver. And so it's an 8-part series. I walked them through. Welcome to caregiving. This is family, family of origin, family of choice. We are caregivers, not cure givers. And then we went into maintaining for the care recipient and the caregiver their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Then I talked about, because it's very important for the caregiver, and particularly here in the West, the East is much better on this, but it was a topic of death, dying, and grief. And then the 8th one was the blessings and gifts of family caregiving. So we began with that to be certain we were all talking the same language and to be certain that we were understanding one another completely. This is after a 10-week class together. I said, just look at the things we've talked about. Tell me what are your priorities. Tell me what, from a cultural point of view, we need to be very comfortable with. I was comfortable, but I wanted to hear it from them. And I said, there's one other thing we're going to have to do. And this was new and it was a challenge, but it worked perfectly. I said, your Dr. Suka, your Dr. Putu, your Dr. This, your Dr. This, and I'm Reverend Greg. When I get there, I'm going to be Greg, you're going to be Suka, you're going to be Putu, you're going to be D. I arrived, it was about 2 months later, and they'd established an organization called the Sahaja Foundation, and it's a Sanskrit word meaning health, wealth, and prosperity. We began by visiting once a month a major village into which we would bring not only ourselves, but we would bring, because of all of their relationships, we would bring eye, ear, and nose people, people on diabetes, people on heart. We now have over 50 high school young people with their Sahaja jackets, and it is marvelous. By doing this, we were about to begin the process of raising the healthcare literacy of the nation. These young people, they began to see there were opportunities of careers, not just a doctor and a nurse. We are training caregivers because there's also programs on training persons as family caregivers that a stipend will be paid, very small, but through their insurance system, to the caregiver, which will help the GDP. There's no question of that.
And then, also jobs. It's creating jobs for young people.
Exactly. Exactly. And even more so for a place like Bali. Bali is an enticing place for retirement visas. Well, yes. One of the requirements for a retirement visa is you must hire an Indonesian. Well, anybody my age needs an Indonesian to keep me moving around. I will be celebrating 80 this year, so I know what it is to have help. So there were just so many things that seemed to work. And so that's where it began, and it has continued.
So it's two different groups here. It's the volunteers, which are young people. It's the care recipients and the caregivers themselves. One of the things we hear all the time, Reverend Johnson, is from NGOs, is that very often the people they want to help are unresponsive. They do offer a program, they do offer help, and people do not show up for it. But you were able to rally the troops, so to speak, the real people that needed the help to step up to the plate, and also the indigenous folks, the young folks who could help. So this wasn't people from outside coming in. These were the inside people, the people themselves that were responding. When we come back, I would really like you to take a deep dive into how they communicated. Maybe it was the big five, as you say. Maybe yourself communicated with the people on the ground they wanted to help to get this receptiveness. Because we often find we've got a great program, but nobody shows up for it. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in high-quality online SDG education programs at no cost and with a flexible schedule? Through the Global NGO Education Committee, GNEC, and Rutgers Preparatory School, the Innovation Academy is offering a variety of programs that address both local and global challenges that should be of interest to you. It provides an NGO a virtual platform for online courses and programs from top schools and other organizations, designed for every grade level from world-class educators. Take advantage of this amazing opportunity to expand your knowledge, be connected, be inspired by NGO leaders and educators. You will get all the information you need at the Innovation Academy at GNEC, GNEC.NGO.
And now we are back, and we're speaking with Reverend Gregory Johnson, who is really fueling a lot of excitement about Sahaja Foundation Bali. We've already seen what's worked, the ability to work with the government, the ability to work with people who are leaders in the field on the ground. But I'm asking him a third question now. What about the recipients themselves, the family members? You're going into small areas, as you explained, maybe rural areas. Often, there's just not a response. We have that here. We'll do a caregiver meeting in a corporation, and not one employee will come up and admit that they're a caregiver. We just don't get a response. How did you do it?
Well, the truth is, I think the smallest turnout we've ever had in the village was 150 people. Unlike so many things that I have done in the States, you're absolutely right. The people were lined up ready to go. And part of it came from the fact that I have five fabulous people, all who came from different villages. So it was important to begin in those villages where someone was a known entity.
Okay.
But there is nothing like we did it in this village and then the next village hears about this and how can we get them to our village? And they all become ambassadors for it. The turnout is incredible. And also, which blew me away, the last one I went to was well over 200 people. The Sahaja team said, "We're so thrilled that you're coming. Would it be okay in the opening of the program to have the village choir sing?"
Okay.
So we said, you know, me, put on a show. Yeah, hell, heck, that's great. I love it. And they were fabulous. In their finest costume, they sang. There were about 50-some people in the choir, and they were an onglung, which is a wooden instrument. It was fabulous. And then the biggest surprise, and it relates to what we talked about earlier, the intergeneration, was one lady who runs a clinic at one of the major hospitals doing pranic healing, which is a Reiki-type form of healing, which is very big in Indonesia and much of Southeast Asia.
Energy work.
Well, here's what happened. And I didn't know anything about it, except I suddenly saw a group of about 25 young people. They came with Dr. Ayu, and I saw the most wonderful sight. I was in tears. There were these young people healing the seniors who had come. And I thought it was going to be just the other when they said they're bringing in healers. I thought they're bringing in all of these elderly people to heal the other way. In fact, it was so impressive. My driver went three times to three different healers because we were there for quite a while. But the part that happens in here, and this is the word that gets out, is they all get a registration form with whatever doctors are going to be there or medical staff, and they get a report. We then get those reports and they are taken to the local puskusmas so that there's the ability to follow up. But also, and this just blows me away, I can get very teary about this. Once the main program, the opening show is over and people are going to the various tables and what have you before we do lunch, then the doctors, the key doctors that are there, get on their motorbikes and go house to house for people who could not get to the event. When we leave that village, we have a very good understanding of the dynamics of the building, of the village, of who is the caregiver, who is a care recipient, and sometimes the caregiver and the recipient are the same. That happens all over the world. But it becomes this very, we begin the process of naming it.
What we're learning here, that's a takeaway, is the name of the show. The show is called On the Ground. And you are really on the ground. You know who the people are. Yeah, you're not asking an expert or to tell you, here's the avatar. You are talking to the people themselves. And that's sometimes forgotten, even in the largest or the smallest organizations where you're trying to do something and deliver a service, and you don't know who you're delivering it to.
And we don't, and this is something I have believed in. I had the privilege, as you know, of doing a paper on the Sahaja Foundation for the IFA this year in South Africa. In it, I talked about from silos to synergy. And one of the points that I kept talking about was we must begin with level one. No matter what audience you're talking with, you may have the brightest person on the topic, but we need to begin with plan 101, because every day there is somebody new who's a family caregiver.
Yes.
And you don't know who's in that audience. And when you do begin at that level, and this is the gift of Jana's, the program that we do with the classes that we do with the people who want to be trained in caregiving. We don't assume anything. We respect everything. And we unite in caregiving. And it is the reason that I have fallen in love with the Sahaja model and believed very strongly that it could be replicated. And so I came back to New York and I contacted a very dear friend, Dr. Edward Gibbons, and he had started, I'd helped him many, many years ago after we had the New York City Family Caregiver Coalition. He did the one on Long Island and then formed an organization of his own called Caregiver Coalition Fund of America. I wanted to raise money for the concept of the Sahaja model, but I would love to extend it. And so I went to Ed and I talked to him. And together we decided, yes, indeed, we would begin. The point was, we were making progress that can be replicated because it was the people who were doing the work. And I have this dream of having Sahaja-based entities all over the world and then getting them talking to them to one another, because it can work. Well, I got a call from a bishop in Pakistan, and already he's had a holiday service in Pakistan with Christians. He's had the Muslims, who are the predominant relationship there, in an interfaith talking of using caregiving to bring them together.
Unbelievable.
I have said this now many times, so I have no problem saying it. As an ordained interfaith minister, it makes me very sad to make the comment, but it's true. Neither religion nor governments have done a good job at uniting people. But caregiving does, yes, because we all have a story. It can be Tikkun Olam. It can be Matthew 25. It can be Golden Rule Living. It can be doing the next right thing. It can be following the teachings of any of the great teachers. The Golden Rule is in every teaching. And I have had the privilege of working with people like my late dear friend, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, with an interfaith group in Singapore, where we used caregiving to bring together clergy and let that be the foundation before they started throwing theology at each other. They found a common base. And I have been doing that for many years. So I believe that the International Alliance is not only wanted, it's very much needed. I've had people, significant people from the Ukraine, who have come to me, medical people, and said, once we are more stable, will you talk to us about the Sahaja model? Because it says, this is who's there. This is what's there. And we bind in our caregiving stories. And then Nigeria recently came to me as well, with a project for children. So it's been happening all over. So right now we're in a little commercial. We're in the time of seeking seed funding so that we can expand this work. It's not a concept. It was a vision. It was an idea. It's a concept that's been up and running for 3 years, and it's only expanding.
And as you all know, if you listen to our show, we will have in the show notes a URL, a website, and whatever else we can to allow people to make a donation or to call you, support you in any way you can. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about failure. One of the greatest things we've learned on the ground is that sometimes the failure is the next step to success. And, you know, we always say fail better. So we do want to talk about what might not have worked, what you might have wished you knew before you went into it, and for some things that we can generalize to have people in other NGOs. And it may not be a Sahaja Foundation, because you've been involved with so many things where failure has only been a stepping stone to success. So let's talk about that, because we do have a lot of NGOs, particularly today when funding is tight, that are saying, oh, we can't do it, it didn't work, and they get bogged down in that part of the process without seeing it as a stepping stone. And you've always seen failure as a stepping stone to success. So we'll be right back, and we'll get some words of wisdom from the very wise Reverend Gregory Johnson.
Are you interested in high-quality online SDG education programs at no cost and with a flexible schedule? Through the Global NGO Education Committee, GNEC, and Rutgers Preparatory School, the Innovation Academy is offering a variety of programs that address both local and global challenges that should be of interest to you. It provides an NGO a virtual platform for online courses and programs from top schools and other organizations designed for every grade level from world-class educators. Take advantage of this amazing opportunity to expand your knowledge, be connected, be inspired by NGO leaders and educators. You will get all the information you need at the Innovation Academy at GNEC, GNEC.NGO.
And now we're back. And as you know, this is On the Ground. I think it may be one of the very few shows that has a positive aspect for everybody who's in the world of change making. And why do we need that so much? Because we do fail. Because as Greg Johnson just told us, fundraising is important to him. He's had an incredible success. Now he's on the next part of the journey. So we're all only on a part of the journey to success when it comes to these things. But you have succeeded and you have failed, and you've always taken failure and turned it into a success. Hard thing to do. But if you could teach somebody a word of wisdom with regard to that, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to just share a little story because it was something that happened in my life in tourism. I was privileged, and I only did it for very selected groups of people, but I would take them, and they tended to be people who were extremely successful, extremely wealthy individuals, far beyond anything in my life. And as I traveled with them, I used to enjoy listening to conversations, which I was invited to do, as they were visiting over drinks or whatever. They never talked about their successes, but they all talked about the failures and laughed heartily at it. And that registered with me. And one of the things that I kept learning, and I have failed at it on many occasions, it's when I try to do something that's not my world, one of which can be technology. But I learned I can have other people around me who are very comfortable with it, and I just leave it in their hands. I attempt to learn. I'm always interested in learning, but that's not who I am. Give me people to deal with, that I always enjoy. But one of the things that I have learned, both as a minister and as a person who does a great deal of speaking, that may be my gift. But my greatest blessing is when I learn to listen and to hear what's not being said. I've always found I can be more helpful to people because I've lived and been honest in my own life. It's hearing what's not being said that's often the key to building a relationship.
You know, one of the things that you point out is that we talk about, it's a big word on this show, and that word is collaboration.
Totally.
Sometimes you do think you have to do it alone, or you are embarrassed, even at the highest levels, of not being able to do something, and you can't speak to somebody and say, can you help me? And what you're saying is recognize where you might fail, even before you failed, like the technology is not my thing, and get somebody whose thing it is. So that's always something to remember. And we forget. We often do forget. That's so important. And now, you know, before we conclude with this, I want to talk about cultural competency. As you were talking the whole time, 168 times to Indonesia, you really know this country. You're not Indonesian by far, but you really know it in your bones. Now you want to extrapolate, you want to grow the same model in other places. It may have proved some success in Pakistan, which is very different than Indonesia. But will it resonate, let's say, in Sweden? Even as you mentioned, the idea of death and grief is completely different in different cultures. So how are you planning, or you may already know, how to roll this out in different cultures, which is something that a lot of our listeners really do struggle with?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize I don't know every culture, and I don't profess to do that. Indonesia, I know quite well because of all the time I have traveled there, and the ASEAN countries because I was on the original board 55 years ago that founded ASEAN over there, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. So I've had a long relationship with those countries and basically the rulers of every of them, which has been a gift and a great, great gift. But other countries, no, I don't, except I do understand, as an openly gay man and a man of 35 years in recovery from alcohol, I do understand the importance of prejudice that does exist. And it's always my goal to go in and to empower, to learn. And one of the greatest gifts as I travel the world, and I talk of this openly because if I can, at 80, if I can help somebody, I'm only too happy. One of the best ways to learn any culture in any world, in any place in the world, I go to an AA meeting. I can learn more about that culture because we all share a different common problem. It's not the caregiving issue, it's the world of addiction. But they live in that culture, and I can learn more about any culture from that.
This is fascinating. So this is a really, in a way, it's an extremely practical way of looking at something from a creative, what is really a creative point of view, because we do have systems that work. It's almost like an inventor. Finally, the light bulb actually lights up the room. Now you want to put it in a lamp in another country, and all of a sudden, it's totally different. It would light up that lamp, but they don't want it. And the question is how to get involved in a way that does not make you the other.
Well, the truth of the matter is everything we've been doing, we would be so blessed to have the funding to accept the invitations that are given to us.
So in your case, you really, the doors are opened.
That we are only working with people who have come to us. We have, there are a number of other areas, particularly in ASEAN, because I've been so involved with that for the lifetime of some of the people I'm working with. I've had a lot of clergy from various parts of the world who follow me because I'm not exactly what they expect out of a New York City clergy person because I'm very open about who I am. It's my life. I think it's an important thing to do. I don't ask anybody to accept me because I've been accepted by God just like they have. And we will come to find a common ground, which is love.
Yes, you hear the passion in this show. And sometimes the passion can be missing with NGOs and people who are change makers because they're frustrated. You hear the word burnout. You don't even burn out for 5 seconds. Burnout and Reverend Greg Johnson are two. It's just, so something's going on there. What do you think it is that keeps that passion and vitality alive?
It's, to me, the fact that I give such great thanks that I'm not a human being trying to have a spiritual experience, but rather I'm a spiritual being having a human experience.
Now, if we could get that rub off a little bit on everybody listening, it would be a fantastic holiday season and a fabulous new year, which is why we want you on just at this time of year. This was planned.
Well, bless your heart. But to me, that is so important. I know that I've been sent to do something specific. And as Picasso used to say, find what you were sent here to do and give it away.
Beautiful.
What a gift to be able to unite the world in caregiving, because nothing else seems to be doing it.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end, and very, very inspirational, exactly what we needed. And we thank you so much. And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say. Never stop changing the world. And happy holidays and happy new year.
Happy holidays, happy new year indeed. Thank you, Adrienne.